Is this thing on?
This is Artscape, an investigation into the artistic and cultural landscape of our region, with your hosts, Katie and Harold. For the next hour, we are going to take a journey through sound and storytelling.
This podcast is brought to you by CFUV 101.9 FM, located on the unceded territories of the Lekwungen and Wasanik peoples, created with the generous support from the BC Arts Council. Join us as we uncover the people, happenings, and organizations
that make up the artscape in which we live.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Good. Yeah.
So before we get started, Katie, I have to make sure, are you in a spiritual state right now?
Yes.
Are you feeling tapped into your art journey?
Yeah.
We should listen though. We should turn off the lights.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So do you consider yourself a spiritual person?
Yes, but it took me a while to come to that.
All of a sudden, waking up inside a dream and realizing that I'm just dreaming. And seeing that I'm just the witness of all the images and all the moods and all the emotions going by, and I'm not really essentially those things that are going by. I'm the one stable, eternal place.
Wood is a really powerful medium, and sometimes when I've been carving and I start working and get so far into the wood, and I start seeing that, okay, I started out because I saw the seal or something. I start working on the seal's face, and then all of a sudden the eye appears all on its own. Like a little branch that was going to come out or something like that, a little dot.
Yeah, there's lots of origin stories. I mean, the first origin story that I heard about Raven, and I've known of Raven stories since I was a kid. That's a thing, like it's just all coming together now as an adult.
We are conduits of some sort, and we're vessels, and we're chosen to do things, and we really need to pay attention.
And I am beginning to realize that it's different for everyone.
My name is Marcus Knox, and my livelihood is I'm a craftsman or an artisan. I make beads from rose petals, an old craft, and it's a matter of taking fragrant rose petals and cooking them in water for up to 3 days. That creates a dark paste. Paste is firm, like a clay consistency. I can use that paste to roll beads. That's what I do. I roll each bead by hand, and before they're completely dry, I pierce them. Then I make the finished beads into jewelry and prayer beads. And the term rosary comes from these beads originally, although hundreds of years before the Christians got a hold of these beads, they were being made into prayer beads. So that's my main sort of livelihood work. I go to the Salt Spring Center of Yoga. We lead a chanting circle every Wednesday night.
So if, in case you were wondering, Katie, the sounds in the background are recordings of Claire and Marcus's album called The Presence of One, which is a compilation of their chants.
Yeah, presently I'm sitting at our kitchen table, and we have a nice open plan in our home, so while I'm sitting here, I look out our big picture windows onto our beautiful forest scenery here on Salt Spring, mostly fir forest with arbutus and some red cedar mixed in, and so I'm basically looking out from a hill, the top of a hill, onto a beautiful forest. And since we're south-facing, there is a lot of sun today. And this particular day, the temperatures are very warm for a February 9th. And we've got the doors open, and I'm not even wearing a shirt, so there you go. Very, very mild and warm today in our sunny living room.
Beautiful.
Well, I am Claire Ryder, and I live in Salt Spring Island, and I have quite a large background in art, where I, at 19 years old, started woodworking and became a wood sculptor and a wood turner for all of my 20s, 30s, and 40s, and really ever since I, around 50, I started another business with kale and making kale chips and growing the kale well and making those recipes up as well. And so I've been doing artistic things most of my life, and now that I'm not doing the woodworking, I'm finding myself weaving some of that artistic nature in anything that one's hands are doing, you know, putting your heart into it and getting kind of more or less out of the way in a way with the mind. And
my understanding of spirituality is it's the deepest yearning of the human heart around connecting with something more universal than just a sense of individuality, what we might call ego, what we might call just one human body and one human mind, but reaching into something that we could call is the source perhaps of our body and our mind, that animates our body and our mind, what we use the words awareness or being or presence, and tuning into the feeling of existence, the sense of just existing, as the words could be, I am, I exist. Tuning into that sense, in its very simple sense, is there is a place there that connects us with all of life. I myself follow the yoga path to a large degree, and even the term yoga means to unite, which basically means to discover that place within ourselves that unites us with everything else, a sense of complete wholeness. Another term for this is God, that energy or that being that unites all of us in place. And my sense of spirituality is that any and all of us can discover this place of unity, this place of pure and simple awareness. We can also call it pure love. And we can discover this when we let go of completely identifying with the voice in our heads, our regular talkative mind, as well as not identifying too heavily with strong emotions necessarily, but actually witnessing the thoughts and the emotions go by. And that place of witness that has no judgment and no real comment on what it's seeing is a very pure place. It's another avenue to tune into spirit, where we're just witnessing everything going by, just aware of it, but there is no, as I say, judgment or criticism or that it's better or worse, but just to see all things in a relatively neutral space going by in each day, and finding our place of, let's say, pure, unjudgmental awareness and all of that.
Something that we talked about earlier today, Harold, and I think it's relevant in what Marcus was just saying. We need to remember the connection that exists between our own mind and thoughts and our bodies. And not just watch and feel our bodies, but actually like listen to the messages and thoughts that we are having and telling ourselves, and then kind of like growing that deeper connection with our own bodies and how that affects us. So I think that's something that helped me find my own spirituality, was just that kind of exploration of my own thoughts and trying to be more present with that. I think coming from that place, we can find more empathy for ourselves and for other people.
The things that, you know, that don't work out for our early childhood, we can, you know, shift it around later on and do what we always wanted, right? And one of the things was is that I didn't like growing up in a, you know, sort of a city kind of atmosphere. And so when I was able to make those choices myself and I got out into the countryside in Cape Breton, I found that spirituality was very much in all of the forest and nature, and found myself very able to be to be a student of Mother Nature as my spirituality. I mean, she just showed me just everything I needed to know, until I did end up finding some really good tools and some and a bit of Buddhism, and also the yoga path, the philosophy. But yeah, nature was so much part of everything. Well, I mean, I was getting all my materials from nature, finding it in the forest floor or in that was the ocean seashore or up by the lake shores. And so my little girls and I would go out and find these bits of wood that had interesting shapes to them, and then I would make them into things. But the spirituality factor was really plus there, because here nature was just giving all of these materials to me. Then I come home and I look at them for a long enough time, and they start to show some qualities to me that I can speak to. And so this is very much spiritual connection with wood material too. And then working with the wood and being able to take a material, that a raw material, and turn it around into a $500 or $600 sculpture. That was also quite a transformation, watching these things going from one form to another.
Do you listen to the materials that you work with, Katie?
Yeah. The city, streets, wherever I'm walking, I'm constantly looking around, observing. I think that's a form of listening.
It's some magical thing about the wood. Seems like it has so much expression in it that when you start working into wood, it's the fifth element for the Chinese. So, I mean, it has a whole lot of power. Everything had to be made of wood first and so forth before steel and all these other things, materials. And so, wood is a really powerful medium. And sometimes when I've been carving and I start, working in, get so far into the wood, and I start seeing that, okay, I started out because I saw the seal or something. I start working on the seal's face, and then all of a sudden the eye appears all on its own, like a little branch that was going to come out or something like that. A little dot of some kind will show up right there in the eye, and that didn't happen only once. That happened many times. So I started to wonder, do we go through the wood to get out of here? Sometimes I see so many forms in wood, even all the time. Live trees as well. I just have many creatures in them, their shapes.
Amazing how we can start making the connections as we get involved with a piece of art and we start delving deeper into it. Things just start showing themselves and falling into place.
You choose your medium, and then it, through listening to it, it speaks to you, and you're able to find what you need to say through that.
But do you choose the medium, or does the medium choose you?
like I was talking to an artist about this and how, you know, it's like we're made to sign our name at the end of our work, right? And it's just that, but sort of in the way that they don't understand, you know, that my name is related to where I'm from. My name, Lindsay Katisagatse Delarond, locates me to a specific time and place in this world. You know, and that place is my community of Kanawage. And so my name doesn't represent just an individual person. You know, that name represents my community. I feel like the work will tell me what it needs rather than me defining what the work is. So being the facilitator of something, I'm less, and this is all sort of like I'm seeing this in a like a in a spiritual realm where it's like it's not a physical sort of knowing. It's not like, okay, you know, it's sort of like this, you're sort of listening to something that you can't see, right? And so that coming from that place is, it just takes a different attunement and a different sort of listening. Yeah. And I feel like it's a lot slower. It's a lot slower, maybe. Like, I really used to, I like gesture drawing, I like life drawing, I like the immediacy of some things, I like charcoal because you could get it on there fast, and I like that sort of thing for expression and sort of more related into the fine arts realm, but with like drawing technique and that sort of thing. But I really think that, you know, we are conduits of some sort, and we're vessels, and we're chosen to do things, and we really need to pay attention. And we can't have all this crazy shit going on in our lives, because what it does is it removes us from that listening place where we're able to really hear what our purpose is. And the more chaos, the more drama, the more negative people, the more negative thinking, the more sort of we're being extracted from this. And the pull is about, because there's always a natural pull to take you somewhere else. That's, I feel like, is inevitable. It's the sort of the light and the shadow. And you have to really sort of be disciplined, I think, and become mindful in a way that you're clear. The clarity. The clarity's not always there, right? But I think eventually you hone into something, and then you give it space, and then you kind of come back to it, and then you talk about it. Like, that's how I sort of figure out what's next for me. Is like, okay, it's like, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it comes from here, if it's coming from there, but something comes, right? And it's not a way for me not to take responsibility of the work, but it's a way for me to acknowledge that there's a creative force, there's something greater than myself that's sort of calling this process, and it wants to be cleansed or something. There's a sort of like, something wants to become more balanced. And it's either with myself or the people that are in contact with me, right? That residential school piece right there, but I didn't really know. I didn't have depth back then. I had like imagery and topics that I knew was related to being a Native person. So a lot of sort of my artwork was figuring out, what is the residential schools? Like, what really is it? And I'm looking through like different sort of So it was all exploration. And it's been like that for a long time. Part of what art has helped me to do. So art is directly related to my development as a human. You know, all of those things that the soul really needs to be able to fulfill itself and become whole in a lifetime, art has been able to provide me with that, right? And now it's connected me to, and sort of where that brought me is like the very egocentric, the very like family, the very self-portrait, the self, who is self, and then sort of, you know, I'm still learning, but it has its own sort of rhythm now, right? It has its own process, it has a foundation. You know, that's established. Now from self, then that sort of extended to my daughter, right? So that took a while to be able to be like, what, it's not all about me, right? You know? and then that sort of extended to now others, like working in community and with community and providing space for people to have that experience of limitlessness and freedom, everything that was so crucial and important to my well-being. And then you offer that to other people when you understand that it's such a fundamental way of life is to have freedom, right? Now I work more collaboratively, I would say. I'd say my artwork for me means community.
Yeah.
Because I don't make art by myself. I don't have a studio, but I'm getting rid of it. But I'm not like a solo, it's not me anymore. My art practice is not an individual sort of thing anymore. My artwork is about helping people to understand that they're artists too, you know. So I'm sort of more in a facilitator role, I'd say, in my art practice than anything. And that's just sort of like the natural evolution of how it sort of unfolded, of being very like, very about self, very about like, who am I? What's my identity? What does it mean to be Native? What does it mean to be a woman? Like, just exploring all of the identity pieces, right? And so that's really what art means to me. Like, everything is sort of coming into in a way that I'm sort of developing a philosophy of life and living, and art is sort of a part of that. Nothing is compartmentalized anymore as much as it used to be. You know, like this hat. It's like, I just have one hat on, you know. It's just one hat. It's just Lindsay now. And I could be myself anywhere that I go. If I'm the artist, if I'm a mom, I mean, different contexts taps into different strengths and insecurities simultaneously, you know. And so, but that's the balance of life, the light and the dark. You can't get one without the other.
Is there like techniques or things you can do to help yourself or help anyone else find like mindfulness or presence?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sort of just learning this, and this is helping me because I'm working with trauma survivors, and you know, the techniques of like breathing, deep breath and prayer and stuff like that have been really helpful for me. But I think the first part of business was removing drama, like removing the chaos. I grew up in chaos, so it's normalized, it's familiar. And so I had to really learn throughout the years to really sort of distance myself from anything that was just not healthy, I guess. And so that's one way of becoming sort of mindful and present, is removing. I mean, and it's always going to be in some form, you know, like chaos and problems and issues and concerns are always with us and that sort of thing. But exercise, eating well, sleeping. I think if people can sort of do those three things, let alone like keep a 9-to-5 and all that other stuff and raise 5 kids, like if you can put good food in your mouth and sleep and, you know, get your heart rate up 4 times a week, you're ahead of the game. If you can do that, you can do anything for a long time. You'll have a long life if you could do those three things. Yeah. So, and it's in this society, it's like opposite. You know, it's like work 12-hour shifts and, you know, do everything opposite to look after yourself. Because if you do those things, then you're a successful person. If you're busy all the time, then you're successful. You know, and it's like, it's not like that. We're actually not made for that. We were created to support colonialism in that. We were taught how to be that way for a system that oppresses us. And that's what we have to understand, you know. So it's challenging because we're programmed, you know. And I mean, we were just talking about student loans, you know, that pressure. This is what you do in order to be successful. If you're in debt $50,000, well, that means that you're successful. And it's like, really? Right? So I'm just recognizing that, you know, then what's the most natural way for us to be? Who am I naturally? Not in all this sort of roles, like, yeah. And so that's sort of where I'm at now in my practice. It's like, I've done the 2D, the printmaking, you know, it's like it's starting from the, like a two-dimensional world and to sort of like real life, reality. It's like not even in an object anymore. I've become the object, you know, and so there's no separation. That's why I can't compartmentalize in terms of what is it means to be an artist, because it means that I'm a live being, right? And so, like, the labels are just the way that we have to understand our roles, because we have to be responsible to the roles we play. And otherwise, we don't play them anymore, you know? Or we have an option to say, I don't want to play this role anymore. I'm going to sort of define one, or make up a new one, or go back to an old one, or whatever. But, so, yeah, becoming the artwork, I think, is where I'm at now. Yeah, body as being the vessel, right? And then I have another opportunity too, like art therapy. Like, you know, I've talked a lot about my problems and my issues and stuff like that. And I think expressing them through the body, I think, is the next step for me to really sort of reconcile through the body. You know, it's like we don't reconcile about the devastation to the land in politics. You know, it's like that's not where the amendment is. The amendment is with it directly to the land, you know, and it's not even with people. It's like all of that attention needs to go back to sort of Mother Earth, right? It's like we have our priorities all sort of jumbled up in a way that makes it really difficult to know what is the truth, you know? And so an art will always sort of tap on and touch what is the truth. And I think it's a way for people to enter into another way of knowing and seeing things, you know. And without controversy or conflict, it's like, what's the point? You know, conflict doesn't have to be like mayhem, and you know, conflict is a very natural thing. Nature shows us it all of the time, right? And so our teacher, our greatest teacher, is nature, and we keep destroying our teacher, right? And it's like sometimes we don't understand what we're going through and stuff, and it's like, just look around you, like, what's happening? It's raining today, you know? It's like, that affects all of us on a cellular level, you know? And so we're, so it's about really acknowledging that you're connected. I think art is a way to really fully acknowledge that you are connected and you're never alone. And if you ever feel like that, then you can sort of just use art to help you feel connected again to yourself and then to the world, because that's what we're missing or we're losing, is that sense of belonging, the sense of like community, the sense of self, because we're told who we have to be all of the time. I don't know. I'm not super conceptual around art making like I sort of thought I used to be, you know? And like I had to have this sort of like, had to relate to some sort of like philosophy or theory of like some Western academic or whatever, right? Like, or it had to be like this in-depth thing. And then I realized that I just want to make work that touches the heart, you know? That's all I want to do, is just make work that's emotional, you know, and not intellectual. I don't need to be intellectual anymore. I just need to be a feeling, sensitive, empathetic, compassionate human being, artist, mother, all everything.
My name is Margaret, and I come from Seashelt Nation. So I'm going to say that, like, because my identity is really important to me as an artist, as an Indigenous artist, and how that mixes in with my spirituality as an artist, I think, really is vital to how I practice. For me, I feel like it has a lot to do with my connection to the earth, like with the animals, a lot to do with my spirit connections to Raven primarily, but predominantly with all of the bird animals. I get lots of messages. It's actually pretty surreal at times. And the more aware I become, the more messages I get. And these messages are so strong and so powerful. It's what influences my art right now, actually. And as well as my dreams. My dreams over time have, the more, again, like my awareness with animal messages, my awareness with my dream messages are the same. So the stronger they get, the more profound they get, the more it influences my art as an Indigenous artist. So like this piece that I'm working on, one of the big panel pieces that I'm working on is actually from a dream.
Okay.
Yeah, and the dream was a symbol of Raven, my primary totem, came flying in through a window in a dream. And then as soon as it came into the window, it transformed into a woman, a middle-aged woman. A woman I'd never seen before, and she shook off the Raven transformation. She immediately turned into a woman, and she had very distinctive features. Long, stringy brown hair with bangs. She had beige skin, and she was a bit rounder, like an older woman from like the late 80s, early 90s even. Like, she had like a white shirt with yellow flowers on it, and like 80s jeans on, which I haven't finished painting yet, but she shook off Raven. It was really amazing how she just shook off Raven when she shape-shaped, or whatever you call it. Shift-shaped. There we go.
Shape-shifted.
Shape-shifted. And then we were talking, and I don't remember at all the conversation we were having, but we were really, like, we were just conversing in a really good way with one another, and that was the last thing I remembered before waking up. And it was nighttime. This dream was nighttime, and the windows were wide open, and it felt like a castle, and it was dark, but not, like, evil dark, but it was dark out and dark in the space until she came in, and it just kind of sort of illuminated when she came in. And then I later learned, because I don't know when the messages right away, when I get these messages, and I later learned that it was a part of myself, the mother in me, learning to nurture myself. And so I feel like these messages are just really profound enough to share with the world, and they're so profound that I have to, like, practice it in my art to get it, you know, processed through me. Therefore, others will be able to, you know, be affected by these messages.
I appreciate how Margaret's evoking again with this idea of listening as a way to connect with something bigger than herself, themselves, ourselves.
Yeah, and it just keeps growing. The teachings, the understandings that I have through my singing, cultural singing, through the teachings that come with singing, it just all combines into when I'm practicing art, if that makes sense. And I keep getting inspired to want to do more things with my art, to show my art, to have confidence. And I feel like as an Indigenous female artist, two-spirited artist, I feel like it's kind of like an important role to have, because then I'm sharing with others that it's also okay to let yourself build the confidence if you didn't have confidence before. And yeah.
That's really inspiring.
Yeah, and it just keeps growing. So primarily right now, for the last 6-7 months, I've been painting a lot, and I feel like painting has been really great in ways that I wasn't expecting. Painting, the paints were all I had to use. I haven't been able to afford printmaking like I would have wanted to make prints, because I sell prints, but in the meantime, I've just been using what I got, and painting has been really taking off. Like I said, it just keeps growing. My inspiration keeps growing and in abundance. Like, I used to, like, a few years ago, not even have a clue what to paint. Now I just always have images in my mind to paint. Always have little projects in my mind that I want to paint. Raven has been with my family of origin, my ancestry, for all my life. I just didn't become truly aware or truly awake to it till just a few years ago. And since then, it's been the knowledge and understanding about Raven has increased with my curiosity, because, you know, Raven is very curious, and it's in my ancestry. So these characteristics of Raven are in me. They've been all my family members who have passed. It's really cool to see in hindsight, like, just seeing these characteristics of Raven. So Raven's a trickster, as everyone knows. Raven's trickster. But not trickster in the way that everyone just kind of stereotypes Raven for. Raven is a trickster for the good, you know? And Raven is known to be the light bringer in darkness. It can be a heavy burden to carry as a medicine that I carry in my family and my ancestry. But it's also, with every obstacle that Raven has to face is always blessings afterwards. So I choose that path because of facing everything that I have to face in the darkness, because there's always blessings that follow, as opposed to following a dark, completely dark road. So I have a choice, and I choose to keep going and facing my struggles and overcoming them. What else? Raven is also like imminent change. So every time a raven flies over me, which is often, there's an instant change that happens with Raven. And as you know, they shape shift. They shape shift. So they can do that at any time. And even as a raven person, I can do that at any time. I can decide when I want to make myself happy, you know, instead of being going down the dark, sad road in my thoughts. I can instantly go, nope, I'm going to be really happy right now, and I'm going to continue to strive for that. And then it just changes my whole body, feelings and everything change. And it's really wonderful. It's a wonderful thing that I've taken on since becoming more aware. I think awareness is key. Yeah, there's lots of origin stories. I mean, the first origin story that I heard about Raven, and I've known of Raven stories since I was a kid. That's a thing. Like, it's just all coming together now as an adult. Is that Raven stole the light from a monster who wanted to keep the world in darkness. Was how the world began. So Raven was there at the beginning of time and feels a responsibility to human beings, which is why Raven is always there helping human beings today.
Just kind of on my experiences with ravens, is they make the most interesting sounds.
Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm learning new. This is the new thing I'm learning next, is their sounds. So sometimes they just fly over and don't say anything. And I just learned from someone in my community recently that when they don't say anything and they fly over, it's a warning. And it can be, again, a heavy burden. But when they fly over and squawk, the regular squawks, that is a sign of good news, or someone is coming to visit, I was told. And because another thing about ravens is that they're fond of crossroads. So even raven people happen, it's when their intuitive energy is utilized the most, is, you know, in crossroads. So you'll notice, like, if you know a raven person, they come into people's lives in their crossroads of change. Because they embrace change, and ravens are, you know, they're not, they're fluid. And so, they just, yeah, there's no form. Where they come from in spirit, is there's no form or structure, which hence why they're imminent change. And so I just learned the other day, actually, in the course of a week, their mating call.
Wow.
So they, like I said, they've been giving like lots of messages. So I, was in the forest at Mount Work, and I hear them every time I have hiked that mountain. And my friend's daughter and I were walking ahead of everybody, and we were coming down the mountain, and Raven was doing this funny call, and I kept laughing at her, being like, I bet you anything it's a mating call. I've never heard a mating call from a raven before, so I had no idea. So the next day I remembered to look it up, so I Googled raven mating call, and it was the same sound that I heard in the forest. And just Sunday, I was reading a story that was a love story, and just outside my window in the urban setting, this is where most of my raven sightings come from, most of them, I heard the same sound, the mating call sound in the tree outside, like far away, but I could hear because my window was open. And I had to look a couple of windows because the one I first looked at couldn't get the sight of it, but I had to move to a different window and I got the sight of it. And there it is. It was so majestic and so poetic looking as it was doing its call, mating call. So it was another message for me. And it always has something to do around facing my fears. That is their symbol amongst many things. Yeah.
That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. It was a new one for me. So I'm learning all the time with their messages and their meanings. Yeah, you can't really know for sure. That's the thing. I know it was a mating call, but there's still like things I just don't know. And that's just the way it is. You don't have to figure it out. And the more you do, the more you don't. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, something for me is kind of that idea of like embracing the unknown. Gotta be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you translate a message into an artwork?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to my dreams, I feel like when I want to give messages, it's through my dreams. And I have very, very vivid dreams. And so, those are the kind of I kind of want to key in on the symbols, primary symbols of that dream. Yeah. For instance, the mother raven symbol that I described, I'm going to just paint the raven in kind of like a formation of, in the middle of transforming into the woman. So at the end, at the legs, it's going to not be the legs, it's going to like kind of be a symbol underneath the raven's, where the raven's legs should be, all kind of scattery into the part where it was in transition to turning into the woman. And I feel like the image itself will speak for itself, and I will speak on it if people want me to speak on it. Yeah, even the smallest images in mind in the dream time can also be something really big. I've learned that. And actually writing them down is what gets them more vivid over time, because I write them down a lot. I have quite a few journals filled with dream, just all my dreams that I've had. I've actually looked on them, ones that I had in 2011 this morning. And it's like amazing because I was writing them down not knowing the symbols now, but now I know the symbols. Certain symbols mean things, and I just didn't realize those things at the time. And I was reading back on certain aspects of my growth at the time, and I was astounded with like the fact that I was even writing them down then, not knowing. And I was like, I think this might mean something. So I was in the beginnings of understanding that this might mean something. Yeah, and then I've had psychic readings that told me that I needed to do it more, weren't writing down, and I was already doing it, but the fact that she told me that was affirming, and that I get lots of, yeah, she told me that I got messages through dreams and I needed to listen to them, and I was already starting to feel that anyway, so yeah, the fact that she said that. And I feel like that all this just like keeps growing, you know, like now I'm expanding. So the more I practice art and the more I listen to myself and my spiritual guidance and messages and give the messages, I feel like even my practice is growing. So now music is becoming coming to surface, and I've wanted to play music my whole life, but, you know, I didn't let those parts of my gifts come out when I was younger and, you know, been kind of bogged down by poverty and my own struggle in my own urban way as an Indigenous person. I didn't have that ability or confidence to practice these things. So now I'm practicing them now, and they're all coming up, and they're still in my soul to do, and it's wonderful. So I feel like, yeah,
it'll just keep growing.
Let the process of art making become a path of discovery. Listen. Are you listening? Are you listening? Listen up.
Look. Are you looking? What do you see? What do you see in between?
So, Harold, our first episode of Artscape on spirituality, we've heard all of our guests. I'm wondering, what did you take away from what they said?
Well, to me, it seems like there's always a connection, you know, whether it's the messages and sounds of the raven, like for Margaret, or the grain in the wood, like what Claire was talking about. One thing that unites all the speakers was how they felt a certain connection through their art. Whether it's a connection to the source of our inner self through chanting and meditation, like what Marcus was talking about, or letting any medium you work with speak to you, you know?
Mm. Or what about when Margaret talks about listening to her dreams and connecting the meaning to the events in her life?
Yeah, exactly. Or the histories and stories of our ancestors and making sense of it today and honoring it through art.
Making work from the heart that makes you feel connected.
Yeah, exactly. That's like what Lindsay was saying.
Yeah.
Art bridges the gap and contextualizes everything. The German artist Anselm Kiefer said, "Art is spiritual because it makes a connection between things that are separated." So what did you take away from this episode, Katie?
Well, I mean, I don't want to simplify all of this too much, but I mean, at its essence, it's this sense of spirituality is all about really just being present, being aware, and really being open. Open to possibilities of a medium, open to community, open to the messages around us.
Yeah. Yeah, like rather than feeling like you have things that you should do, letting the medium decide and not putting all this pressure on yourself and letting your inner voice get too loud. Just letting the messages come through and acting on them when it feels right.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I grab my camera and I'm walking around and I'm really feel like I can go out there and have a different approach.
Or after listening to this episode, you feel that?
Yeah.
So what's the new approach?
Just really embracing the unknown.
Embracing the unknown. Embracing the unknown. Embracing the unknown.